I guess I should get the proper pronunciation of your name. It's Urs Dugalin.
Urs Dugalin, that's correct, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're Swiss.
I'm Swiss, yes.
Okay. You have your own publishing house, Fine Art Facsimile Publishers. Is that the name of it?
That's correct, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the best way to start would be for me to find out what the Book of Kells is. Now, I've certainly heard of the Book of Kells, but I don't think I really knew what it was or is. So can you tell me, give me some historical background about this book?
The Book of Kells is the gospel book. It contains the four gospels of the life of Christ. And it had been created in the 8th century by Irish monks. And it's considered now as one of the most important monuments of this time, because it has not only the text, but it's so richly decorated that it became a masterpiece of book illumination. And in a way, it's not a book, really. It has a form of the book, but it's like a museum of 680 pages, and each page is richly decorated. And
it's 680 pages?
Correct, yes.
That's a sizable book, then, isn't it? How big are the pages, each page? For the listeners, it's approximately what?
Well, it's 9 to 13 inch.
About 9 by 13 inches.
Yeah.
And it's more than 600 pages, so I guess it's a couple of inches thick.
Yeah. At the end, there is a book of 20 pounds. So already in that respect, it's not a normal book neither.
Is it bound like a normal book?
No. We are binding it like the original has been once bound, which means it's hand-bound on cords, like in the Middle Ages. So in a normal book you have the cover and then the book block in the middle, and you just combine it. And in the Middle Ages, they did it by hand, sewing each page. And that's what you are doing, too, with the cover. You may see it. Sorry. I think for a better explanation, you may see it here. So that are the cords. You see here?
Mm-hmm.
The cords. And each page has to be sewn around the around the cords.
What kind of paper was used in the original book?
That was not paper, it was parchment.
Parchment.
Parchment, yes. And that's why there are holes in the parchments, which we are recreating too. But nowadays, it doesn't make any sense to use parchment. We created a special paper and treated it specially, though it feels like parchment.
Right, go back to the original book, then I want to ask you some questions about how you're reproducing this. But in the original book, it's a one-of-a-kind, isn't it?
Right, it's a unique book in every respect.
And when the Irish monks created this book, what did they do with it? Where did the book go? Who read it, in other words?
Well, it was considered as a masterpiece already at that time, and they wanted to have it on special days in their church or for their religious service. It was not designed as a daily book to be used. It was designed for special days, really, because that's why it's so richly decorated.
Where was this book displayed originally after it was created?
Well, the tracks are not complete. We know that it was created in the year around 800. And then it was found in the year 1007 in Kells, which is a village about 30 miles outside from Dublin. And that's why it's called the Book of Kells, because that's the first record we have when it was found buried in the earth in the year 1007.
It was buried?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, the assumption is that the Book of Kells had a very rich cover with gold and precious stones, probably. And probably for that reason, it was stolen and the cover had been taken off. And the rest of the book was buried in the earth, and so it was found.
I believe I read somewhere in some of the publicity material that the book may not have been written or created in Ireland at all. Is that true?
Well, nobody really exactly knows. We know about the Irish monks who spread Christianity all over Europe. And they had cloisters on different locations. And one of the location is Iona, which is north of Scotland. But there, it's a foundation of Irish monks. And it might have been created there. And then transferred to Ireland when the Vikings invaded Great Britain.
Where is the original book now?
The original book is now, then, since 400 years, in Trinity College Library in Dublin.
How is this book displayed at Trinity College?
In the 50s, the book was rebound for conservation reasons. And as I told you, there are the four Gospels in it. They bound each Gospel as a separate book. And now two of them are on display in Trinity College in the long room, and two are in the strong room. And the two which are on display are in a special safety case, which has a self-humid control, and self-climate, and specially protected by a special gloss.
How did you become interested in the Book of Kells?
Well, the Book of Kells fascinated me since ever, certainly since I became interested in book illumination. But the problem was I saw so little in art books. The utmost that I've ever seen in art books had been about 10 to 15% of the 680 pages. And those pages created more interest. I wanted to see more about this mystical world of this illumination. And it was nearly 10 years ago now that I first contacted Trinity College in order to explore the possibility of doing a fine art facsimile edition that everybody can see the whole book.
When you speak of illumination, what do you mean?
Well, illumination means the decoration in the book. It means the miniatures, the full page miniatures, and the initials which had been richly decorated, and all the book decoration in the book.
It's hand painted, is that true?
Right, yeah, and handwritten.
Now, you've had some extensive background as a publisher of art books. Tell me a little bit about yourself and your publishing firm. And where are you in Switzerland, by the way?
Well, we are based, our office is in Luzerne in Switzerland. And before I became interested in book illumination, I was a director of an art publisher doing reproductions of master paintings, and we did also art books. So I was never really so satisfied with the quality we did. And I thought it would be a challenge to do a real quality which corresponds to it, to the original. And all of a sudden, I became aware that there is a very valuable manuscript in Luzerne, in the States Library in Luzerne, which was in danger because everybody wanted to see it. But access had to be limited because there was a danger that the book fell apart and had some damage on the pages. And then we talked with the library about the possibility of doing a facsimile, which could protect then the manuscript, because if you have a faithful copy of the original, you can give them to the readers and everybody who is interested, so you can really protect the original, and on one side, and on the other side, you can make it more accessible. That was the start of our company.
Well, 15 years ago, you said you approached Trinity College. I imagine they had some trepidation for fear that the original book would be damaged in the process of making a facsimile.
Yeah, Well, that had been 10 years. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago. Well, at the first time, they absolutely rejected even to study the possibility, because they had been so much afraid that this book could be damaged, because it's the national treasure in Ireland, and it's the masterpiece of the 8th century worldwide. So they have to protect it in every possible sense. I could convince them then that a facsimile would make sense, because everybody's talking about the Book of Kells, but nobody really has access to it.
It's not as though a scholar can actually approach the Book of Kells and turn the pages or anything. People really cannot study it, the original manuscript.
No, it's impossible to study it, because they won't give you access to it. It's too dangerous. And I became aware of that. Well, I'm in the business since 15 years, and I'm studying a lot of manuscripts, and I became aware it's really the best protected manuscript in the world. And that's there are some obvious reasons for that, because the parchment they used at that time in the 8th century is very stiff. And as soon as the humidity changes, the parchment starts moving. And as soon as this parchment starts moving, there's a danger that the pigments on it may break off. And that was the major objection from Trinity College, not to do a facsimile. So we had to develop a new technique just for the Book of Kells, that we can do a facsimile without doing any harm to the original, because safety is, anyhow, the first priority to that manuscript.
Well, you convinced them that you could do it, so how did you do it? You didn't borrow the book. I mean, you actually did the work at Trinity, didn't you?
Right. Okay, then once they became convinced that the facsimile would help to give access to a broader audience, we studied the possibility of the technique, how it could be done. And that took us several years, really. We came up with a prototype for holding the book. Normally, when you're doing a facsimile, first you must do photographs. And that's the first risk, to do photographs in kind of color, light exposure, and so on. And the main trouble with the Book of Kells was to have the pages as flat as possible without damaging the book.
You didn't have to take the book apart, did you?
No, no. We invented what we called this mobile book holder, which held the book by a vacuum system. So the Book of Kells was never touched by hand. The pages had been held by a vacuum system. And the idea was that the vacuum was only active on those parts of the manuscript which had no color, no pigments on it, because that would have been too dangerous. And so we had a pattern here of about 90 holes, which could be active as a vacuum. And we analyzed each page on which part it could be held by the vacuum. And so we controlled each page by a pattern of these vacuum holes. And then it could be photographed.
Yeah, and this special vacuum frame actually holds the pages at an angle, doesn't it, so that you didn't have to hold the book flat.
Yep, right.
So you went through each page and photographed it.
Yep.
With this.
Yep, taking pictures
like
of each page, yeah, with
like
a special camera.
Yeah. What kind of camera is that?
Well, it's a special camera which also allows to equalize the irregularity of the pages, because still the parchment is not flat. You must control that with the special camera. So we had taken photographs. We had our own studio in Trinity College in a special protected room, which had an alarm connection to the next police station, too. It was also controlled by Humanity and by Trinity College staff. And we have taken the pictures, which took us about 6 weeks. And every 2 days, we send our ectochrome, each page, we sent our photographs to Switzerland to be developed by hand.
So, at the end of this process, you had more than, how many pages did you say, 680?
680 pages.
So, yeah. You wound up with 680 photographs for each page. Then what did you do? Then how did you go? Now you're making a facsimile. You're making a book that resembles almost exactly the original book. What was the next step? How did you do it?
Okay, the next step was to analyze these photographs by a scanner. And our technique consists of a combination of using the most advanced electronic equipment and old craftsmanship. So what we're doing was first to analyze by a scanner the basic colors. And we had been aware of the very beginning and by our experience also that would never be sufficient. So we made the first proofs, flew to Dublin to check the proofs with the original, and then we added color for color. And so we ended up with about 10 colors at the end for every page. And that had all been done by hand, corrections we had to do by hand. Though the lithographer here is correcting then part of the pages, which has to be changed, where we have to add additional colors to get as near to the original as possible. And to give you just a number of what we have done, we have flown about 150 times to Dublin to compare our work with the original, and then we corrected it, and sometimes we started afresh. And for the 680 pages, we made 5,000 proofs. So that's an average of about 7 proofs per page.
Now, the original book is, as you say, parchment. What sort of paper have you used for the facsimile?
Well, we produced a paper which has about the same thickness of the parchment, which is, of course, acid-free. I think that's very important for conservation in the future. And then we treated it specially that the surface, when you touch it, feels like parchment.
You also stitched it together in the same way that the original monks did. Is that right? How did you go about doing that?
Excuse me, I don't...
When you bound the book, it was stitched. The pages were stitched together.
Right, right.
Yeah. How was this accomplished?
Well, first, we had to cut each page to the irregular size of the original because they are not rectangular and sometimes they are a little bit damaged. So we had to cut the pages to their original size. And then we also punched all the holes which had been in the original parchment, and that altogether there are 580 holes in one book. And then we had double pages which we put together and stitched it and sewed it by hand in the bookbinding department.
Certainly is certainly beautiful. How many copies did you print?
It's a worldwide limited edition of 1,480 copies, and 740 copies are reserved for the English-speaking countries.
I would imagine Trinity was given a copy.
Yeah, of course.
This way, scholars can actually go and read it and turn the pages and for the first time, closely scrutinize this book. Is that true?
Well, even the keeper of manuscript, which was very reluctant at the beginning, is now very, very happy, enthusiastic about the facsimile, because now even he can study it more carefully than he had also limited access to the original.
Now, this is a rather expensive book. What is the cost of this book?
It sounds expensive. I think it's not so expensive when you see the whole labor which is involved in. We are selling it now at a subscription price of $14,800, and after June 30th, it will be $18,000 if there are copies available.
$14,000. Who? What sort of person would buy a book like this, or would this be something that a university would acquire?
Well, you have to see, it's not only a book. It's really, you buy it because you're interested in this kind of art, or you have a special feeling to the major treasure of Ireland. Part of the subscribers are universities, colleges, libraries, and so on. But the greatest part are private collectors. Private collectors who have an interest in book illumination, in the Middle Age, art, bibliophiles, rare book collectors, and of course, Americans of Irish descent.
Have you sold any books yet?
Well, we are very pleased to say we sold over 600 copies already before publication, before we could present the book. Mm. So that shows, anyhow, the interest in that book of Kells.
Oh, I would say so. Do you think you're going to make a profit from this labor?
Well, I hope so. We should.
We should.
But
in the book business, that's not always the case.
No, that's not always the case. But we are very optimistic when we see the sales even before publication, because only now the book can be seen and people see what we have done. But it shows the interest. And I'm very optimistic that this edition will soon be sold out, as we have already some examples in our publishing program of sold-out books. And then it gets an investment, and there is really a market price thereafter.
How, if somebody wanted to buy this book, how would you get the book to that person? You wouldn't send it by ordinary mail, a more than $14,000 book.
Well, we have a partner company here. That's a Scherer Group in Chicago. Oh, sorry.
It's all right.
Sorry. That's a Scherer Group in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And the phone number is 314-966-4042. They are handling each request individually. And we sending everybody who is interested more information, sample pages, and they are handling then also delivery to the person who is.
They'll probably hand deliver it, I would guess.
Well, partially we do that, yes.
Your visit to the United States, you're going to make a presentation to the Metropolitan Museum tomorrow, is that true?
Well, that's the very reason I'm here. We present the first copy now in the United States on Monday in the Metropolitan Museum. And that makes sense because in 77 there was a Treasure of Ireland exhibition in the Metropolitan Museum. And the Book of Kells was its major attraction. So at that time, only two pages could be seen, because only two pages of an open book can be seen in book illumination. And now the Book of Kells comes back in form of a fine art facsimile edition and is now accessible page by page for everybody who would like to study it in the Watson Library in the Metropolitan Museum.
Are you donating this book to the museum?
Are
you donating the book to the museum?
Yes, we do, yeah.
Well, that's very generous of you. You donated one to Trinity? And one to the Met.
Yes, yeah.
So you more than $14,000 contribution. Imagine that's worth quite a tax deduction.
Well, we hope to get, of course, of course, some publicity by that event, because I think there are a lot of collectors which are interested in medieval art or in rare books, and certainly Americans of Irish descent who would like probably also to donate a copy to the local library, or would have to have it as a family treasure also.
Well, it looks like a remarkable job. I'm anxious to see the final product. I'll go to the museum as soon as I can to see it, because it's just, I can't really read it, though. I mean, what is this, in Latin?
It's in Latin, yep. Well, there is a help with the facsimile, because a fine art facsimile is only part of our job. We are delivering with the fine art facsimile also a commentary volume. And the main contribution is done by Dr. J.J. Alexander of the Fine Arts Institute here in New York. And he and other authors have contributions now to the text, to the illumination, for a better understanding of the book. I think that's very important to see that there is not only just a faithful rendering of the original, but also a study and a help for the two-day readers.
Yeah, so you have an annotation here with it. And I noticed that there's an elaborate case for this book, too. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, you probably know that in the Middle Ages, Irish manuscripts had been kept in book shrines to protect them. So for the Book of Kells, we, as I told you, we don't know how the original cover looked like. But we wanted to protect this fine art facsimile by a book shrine too. And so we studied the book shrines which had been done in the Middle Ages and made our own design based on designs of the Book of Kells. And I think it became now a gem in its own right, really.